Hi, welcome to the Landing Spot Podcast. I'm your host, Allison Noe. This show exists to trample all over the idea that feeling exhausted and terrible is just part of being a woman or an aging woman. I am a certified women's health coach seeking to provide women of all ages a safe spot to land as they learn how to truly restore hormone and metabolic health. I will interview leading experts in the field, as well as women who have personally overcome things like stubborn weight gain, exhaustion, irregular cycles, infertility, brain fog, and so much more. It is your time to move from surviving to thriving. Enjoy the show. Hey, thank you so much for joining the show today. I know you're going to get a ton of great information that our guest is giving you. But before we get started, if you are a woman who is suffering from chronic fatigue, terrible sleep, weight gain, skin issues, irregular cycles, anxiety, depression, all of the things that come with hormone and metabolic dysfunction, I would love to see if I can help you. Reach out to me on Instagram, send me a DM, and let's schedule a call to see if I'm the right professional to get you back to where you want to be. And that is thriving. Ladies, we are not meant to be barely hanging on, no matter what age we are. We are truly created and designed to thrive. I want to help you through some simple lifestyle interventions achieve that. If I'm not the right person for you, I have a ton of connections in this field all over the U.S., and I would love to connect you with one of those so that you can truly live your best life. Reach out. It's at Allison Health Coach Noe on Instagram. We'll include that in the show notes. And now y'all enjoy the show.
So she has the top two highest levels of gliotoxin we've ever seen in somebody who didn't have autism. Again, zero. And this time we did it in 7 days. And then we did it again. We did it four times with this patient. Four times. Re-exposure, because of the environment that she lived in, and gone. So there's something that needs to be said about not being re-exposed, mm-hmm. but also look at all the damage that we prevented by getting the stuff out of this person's body rapidly and safely. And there are a whole bunch of other things we could discuss about this at a later time. We talk about, I call this patient zero. And I work with my college, Kingdom College of Natural Health, wonderful school, great distance learning, holistic natural health school. That's where I got my doctorates and my master's from. I'm the director of student resources. This was my job to go and get pragmatic and practical resources for the students so they can, you know, help people instead of going out there and being like, what do I do?
Right.
So the president of the school said, I got a phone call from this guy that I met a long time ago. Maybe you can help him. So he had a situation with a growth that was on the outside of his throat, and it was actually starting to build up in his throat. And we were working together for about 6 months, and we saw some really great changes. And I said, I did this one thing with this patient about a year and a half ago, and we just did it again. And it was really successful. How would you feel about intravenous vitamin C? And he said, let's do it. So we spent 3 months looking for somebody to do intravenous vitamin C. A couple of places had no idea what I was talking about. There were some places that were like, IV, not clinics, but they were like, designer IV clubs. You go there, you get a couple of, you go there, you're hungover after,
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
And it's great. It's cool. It's affordable. But when I'm talking about 25, 50, 100 grams, they're like, yeah, we don't do that over here. We do 3 grams tops. And then there was another medical doctor, and he seemed like he was really cool. But this gentleman moved to Mississippi. And it just so happens that the major city near him was Kim Strong's practice. So he said, what do you think of these guys? And I don't know. I must have been in a really bad mood that day. He said, forget about them. Let's find somebody else. Didn't even look at it. And he's like, okay, we'll keep looking. So then I looked at it again. And then I think there was some sort of communication between me and Kim. And I'm like, man, I'm the dumbest smart person I know. I should have jumped on this, 2 weeks ago. So we got him in there, and Kim's just awesome. She has got so much insight. It's incredible. And she's got experiential insight, which is rare. And I don't know, she told me a story about a little sort of mini confrontation she had with Richie Schumacher, and she was in the right, in my opinion. But, you know, maybe next time you have her on, she can talk about that. But we did, the first thing that I did with him was we tested him in April of this year for mycotoxins, and it showed elevations of especially mycophenolic acid, ochratoxin, and a couple of other things. The mycophenolic acid was a thing that had me concerned because that disrupts the actual microbial environment in the body. When that stuff is circulating, it allows everything else to be invasive. So that's something that we hone in on. And also aflatoxin and ochratoxin, these are things that are really dangerous. They're like bioweapons created by fungus. So we did approximately 3 months where it was vitamin C, oral vitamin C, some dietary changes, minor, and use certain types of probiotics in high dosages. And after 3 months, we got these levels down about 50% of what they were. And whoa, I told this to my teacher, who is the trainer for the laboratory that I get my laboratory tests from. And he said, wow, that's phenomenal. And I said, but wait, there's more. So at the exact same, at exactly 3 months later, but April, May, and then into June. Okay, or was it March, April, something like that. But it was exactly 3 months to the day. We did another mycotoxin test, okay? And that was where we saw the 50% reduction. And we did the 6 IVC treatments over the course of 2 weeks, which is approximately 12 days. And then another time I can get into the details as far as what we did with that. And I think there's one, maybe two saunas that he did. And we did another mycotoxin test at the end of that protocol. I think it was 48 hours or 36 hours later. So I got both test reports back at the same time. So the first one showed a 50% reduction from the protocol that we did for 3 months. And the second test, which was 12 days later, mycophenolic acid was completely gone and ochratoxin was reduced by another 25%. So we did effectively 3 months worth of detoxification in less than 2 weeks.
And the difference was you went from oral and some minor changes to diet to IV. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probiotics. And then you went, okay, heavy hitter, let's do IV, some sauna.
And we weren't even doing high dosages, really, by IVC standards. We were doing 25 and 50, and I think we did 175 in grams. You know, we didn't even come close to 100. And yet, in less than 2 weeks, we did mold detoxification that has never been done before. And another thing that we noticed too is that his white blood cell count and his absolute neutrophil count went down to normal. At the beginning, Kim says, you know, his white blood cells are high and his neutrophils are high. Do you think we should go and get him some radiology? I said, no, just wait. He's like, are you serious? And I said, yeah, just wait. Just wait until the end of the protocol and see what happens. And she actually did the test before the 6th treatment. His white blood cells and his neutrophils went down to normal. So usually when you see something like that, that's like kind of like a cancer screening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got his white blood cells and his neutrophils down to normal in a week with 5 treatments.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just, and he told this story to a friend of his, somebody used to work with him, because she had very high white blood cells, and they diagnosed her with leukemia based on, she's like, I'm not sick. I don't feel anything. And they said, well, you got to go and do chemotherapy and radiation now and all this. And so I had a conversation with her. She called me and I said, yeah, you need to find an IVC clinic and we need to go and use this protocol. And it's probably going to take a little bit longer because they were a little bit higher, but there's no doubt in my mind that we can go and achieve this. And then it was the whole, well, you know, can't, you know, we pay for anything right now. And I'm like, I'm not asking you for any money. I'm just saying we need to go and get you and we need to get these test numbers down because that's the only evidence they have right now to go and try to go and give you these toxic drugs. So here, is something that brings us back to Frederick Klenner from the 1940s, where he was curing people of polio using intravenous vitamin C in 3 days. 60 out of 60 cases walked into his office with polio and walked out without it. Only 2 cases took an extra day. And he presented this to, you know, people like Albert Sabin, who was one of the guys who created the oral vaccine for polio. And they met him with stunned silence. They didn't even respond. They didn't. I mean, and he presented this to a conference and crickets. So here for 75 years or almost 80 years, we have had so-called cure for polio that has been summarily rejected. And yet the first time, 10 years later, when the Salk vaccine was released to the public, it had to be recalled because it was killing people or giving people polio. Mm-hmm. And I can go into this. I've got an entire shelf of books on this. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, why are we not doing this? And I think what the polio, what the vitamin C was doing was it was attaching to toxins, and it could have been environmental toxins, it could have been mold toxins. Who knows what it was doing? Because we know that mold toxins, when they're high enough, can cause paralysis, and we know that pesticides, herbicides, insecticides are doing the same thing that they did in the mid 20th century. They're just calling it different diseases. So vitamin C has a profound effect on all these things. And I'm not making this stuff up, and it's not just what I've experienced. I've got a pile of books over here that can corroborate some of, if not everything that I'm saying here, with the exception of the fungus part. And it's important to understand, too, about fungus is that nobody fought to use it for vitamin C. Nobody thought to use vitamin C for fungus because up until the early 70s, everyone thought it was a plant. So Frederick Klenner and many other scientists and doctors were using vitamin C against bacterial infections and showing that these infections are going away rapidly without the use of antibiotics. And Klenner went so far as to say that vitamin C was the antibiotic of choice. I mean, imagine going into the hospital and saying, hey, I want vitamin C instead of Cipro. I mean, what would they say? They'd say, you're crazy, or you're stupid, or, you know, put your tinfoil hat away. And let me tell you something about like how popular vitamin C was in the 70s and 80s. I don't know if you guys out there listening have ever heard of a TV show called You Can't Do That on Television. It was a Canadian TV show for kids, and it was really, really, and I really can't believe they got away with this stuff. Hysterical. But I've got digital files of video tape recordings, and sometimes the commercials weren't edited out. And every single one of these children's foods talked about full day supply of vitamin C. It was so popular in the Western lexicon that in the very first Friday the 13th movie, the very first one in 1980, okay, the one where Jason isn't the killer, okay, just to give it away.
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Like everybody didn't know that he didn't get his hockey mask until the third one. You can tell what I was doing for Halloween, which is great, watching movies that have nothing to do with Halloween on Halloween. But there was a scene where the camp counselors are sitting around the lake, and they're talking about vitamin C in a horror movie, a low-budget horror movie. A bad low-budget horror movie that I love to death. And I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm like, this is incredible. And yet, here we are 42 years later. No one talks about vitamin C in the public lexicon. There was not one single discussion about it in the whole pandemic mess. And people were getting arrested and thrown in jail for doing intravenous vitamin C. In fact, I attended a seminar done by Dr. Richard Chang, who was at so-called Ground Zero in Wuhan in January and February. And he was doing 16 grams of intravenous vitamin C to people who were afflicted with what was known as COVID. And these people were getting up and walking out with no symptoms. They even found a patient starting to decline from sepsis, and they gave him 50 grams in a slow drip. And they were stunned with what they called a miracle, seeing this particular person recover and made a full recovery. It's amazing that every time I turn around with this itty bitty simple nutrient, I'm finding out something new. And this mold stuff, I think it's significant. I think it's really significant. I think it's something that there needs to be more support. Because I've tried to talk to other scientists about this. I tried to even talk to the laboratory that I get my testing from, and I have not been met with, much interest really, but yet I have duplication. Once is an accident, twice is a coincidence, three times is a pattern. And I've done this a total of five times so far, four times with one patient, one time with another one. And we have another person that's a good candidate for this idea right now. But what if we could go and do this type of detoxification in a short period of time and then work on understanding how to control the environment and then over time control the physiology by incorporating the right organisms with probiotics and with certain types of fermented foods? Patient zero, the fourth time that we did this, we actually, the first test with the fourth protocol, she was taking, I think, 60 days worth of high dose Lactobacillus rhamnosus GG, which is the most studied probiotic in the world. And it has an affinity for certain types of yeast and fungus. And I think it has an affinity for all of them. I think it's like a natural predator for all of them, like many of the probiotics that we have that are just not utilized properly. So for 60 days, she was doing this in a very specific type of protocol. And what wound up happening was she came back with no mycotoxins on her report, but we still did the intravenous anyway. And then she wound up drinking some tea, and tea is fermented with aspergillus, which has trace amounts of ochratoxin. And that's where we got the ochratoxin levels that went up. So we have to see, we have to understand that sometimes these types of toxins are not, they're not the result of mold exposure, the result of something that maybe that you ate and it's just coming out in your urine and it's not a big deal. But this was huge because it showed that, like, you know, we were able to go and control the mold exposure, not by completely sanitizing the environment, but by changing the microbial environment in the actual person to the point where the environment was not conducive to mold forming a colony. And then when we have the vitamin C in there and circulating, you know, we're almost creating a whole new paradigm about immunity, something that I call the chemical immune system. Because the two facets of the human immune system, the innate and the humoral, which innate is like self versus non-self, and the antibody immune system, which involves the production of antibodies. You know, and then of course we've got the aspect that involves T cells and helper cells and so on. Those are very limited. When I was talking to Alexander Schaus about this, and Alexander Schaus is, again, guys, I'm not making this up. Okay, I can even point you guys to the research paper if I can find it online, because it's very difficult to find because it's buried. But Alexander Schaus, great scientist, you know, wrote 20 books on nutrition, discovered the benefits of acai berry. In 1968, this guy was curing people, curing, meaning getting them completely clean of heroin addiction in 6 days. 6 days. They walked in on Monday as a heroin addict and walked out Saturday morning. No longer addicted, no more withdrawal symptoms, using just vitamin C mixed in a little bit of fruit juice. And that's it. When I spoke to him about this, he made it very clear that the human immune system is limited, that there are major limitations to what we call human immunity. The biggest limitation is that we don't make vitamin C. But vitamin C dramatically changes the chemical environment to a point where it is just not a favorable environment for organisms that base their consumption of food on oxidation. It creates a hostile work environment. So the molds and fungi cannot form colonies in the, under those circumstances, because they would be forming colonies under a poisonous environment. So with that said, vitamin C and all and other chemicals that are produced by other organisms, like L. rhamnosus GG, which produces 48 different types of enzymes. It produces acetic acid and lactic acid. Fungi don't like that stuff. Lactic acid is really, really, really annoying for yeast. Doesn't like it. And acetic acid, well, that's apple cider vinegar. And what do we use apple cider vinegar for? To kill yeast. So when you incorporate ascorbic acid in the same physiological manner as a mammal, you essentially create an environment that is poisonous to fungal and even pathogenic or invasive bacterial growth. And this particular aspect of the immune system that I call the chemical immune system is limitless. There's no known toxic level of vitamin C. There's no known toxic level of L. rhamnosus, GG, or bifidobacteria, or any of the you know, spore formers from any of these great companies that are making them. But you can hear that this is an exhaustive conversation. This is the sort of thing that there's only so much we can cover in this dialogue here, that there's a part two and a part three and a part 10 and a part 100. And I think there is a lack of conversation about this, and the most resistive people to what I'm talking about are the people that I'm trying to help the most. And that's the mold and fungal toxicity community. And I've got a book over here too that that talks about how what we are told as cancer is in many cases some type of a fungal infection or some sort of invasive fungal colony, that there is a strong relationship between cancer and fungus. Cancer is a diagnosis, but neoplastic disease, the actual growth of stuff, that's a different story. And I've got one report, one study right after the next that says this fusarium colony is often misdiagnosed as cancer. Same thing over here, aspergillosis, lung cancer. And down the line, candida and lung cancer. It wasn't lung cancer, it was a candida infection. I've got a story about that I can tell you. And just one right after the next. And then I've got this patient, breast cancer. She had cancer in her cells. She had cancer cells in her blood. Excuse me. And we used intravenous vitamin C. They can't find any more cancer cells in her blood. And she's now 3 years removed from that. What they're calling cancer cells. I don't believe they were cancer cells. So anybody's trying to go and give me flack, oh, you're treating, I'm not treating cancer. I don't even think it exists. So I was working specifically with fungus, and it was totally by accident. And I was able to duplicate it.
And this is why I feel it's so important, because we feel like the standard care of medicine has always been, and these are our trusted advisors. And number one, it wasn't all that long ago in society where doctors were a lot lower on the totem pole. And now they are very high on the totem pole. And this is not to knock all Western medicine or doctors. It is to shake people up and say, there is strong evidence that supports other treatment options to being well, and it's not being talked about, and there is a reason. And beyond conspiracies, we know that money is a driver, and we know that there are a lot of affiliations with big food, pharma, all of that. And so when we look at how we're targeted and how we're marketed to, we're not getting the full story. In fact, I don't know, we have to be able to stop and ask ourselves, is this true and why? Is this treatment that I'm receiving making me feel better or worse? Am I actually progressing? And 9.9 times out of 10 with the women that I've worked with and the people that I speak to from all over the country, their treatment options are not improving their health or their quality of life. So with that being said, it's so wonderful to have practitioners out there like you who are willing to go against the grain, even though you're met with quite a bit of resistance, and continue this work. Because if we're not asking questions and we're told we can't ask questions and we're just continuing to get really sick and feel terrible, that's a horrible place to be. But as of right now, we still have the freedom to question, and we still have the freedom to find other treatment options. And this is not the first time that I've heard the value of vitamin C, but this is definitely the first time that I've heard it to this degree. So I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing.
I'm just getting started. I mean, this is not even the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, there's tons of books on this and studies, and all this stuff is just ignored and it's buried. But about the resistance that, that I was met with, that I continue to get, that I continue to deal with. There's an organization that's close by me over here somewhere in Tampa, where I contacted them and I said, you know, I'd like to go and share some of my ideas with you about what I've discovered. And I wanted to go and talk about my mold vitamin C stuff. So the CEO of the company called me, and I told her I was, you know, drugless functional medicine doctor. She's like, oh, I love you already. And she says, well, are you a medical doctor? And I said, well, you couldn't pay me enough to be one. Apparently she didn't like that. And she went off the hinges and spent 35 minutes or 40 minutes lacing into me, telling me that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, that I don't actually have any patients, that I'm not qualified, and just drilling into me. And we spent no time talking about what I was doing, didn't discuss any of my research. And all she did was she took the time to go and lace into me, because she makes a ton of money selling her vitamin C product to medical doctors at exorbitantly high prices. But yet, here I am, where I might be sitting on something that is every bit as significant as maybe what Alexander Schaus was doing in 1968, which he was met with resistance to that, because I think it was the National Institute for Drug Awareness or something that did all these rehab clinics. I can't remember, but the acronym is NIDA, NIDAA, something like that. He presented this research to them, and he was a young man at the time. They said, and this is in the research paper and in his presentation, that if they implemented this, that they would have to lay off 90% of their workers because it's too effective. Curing people in a week of heroin addiction was simply not good business. So the resistance that I got from this person, you know, she perceived me as a threat, because I wasn't coming from the club that she was a part of. You know, I wasn't part of the, you know, the popular kids, like, you know, like back in high school. And, you know, I'm like, I've got three PhDs. I'm the first doctor of drugless functional medicine in history. Because I made up the degree. I insisted on my school putting drugless on the degree. I'm the first person in history to go and have a degree, a doctorate in orthomolecular medicine, functional medicine, and natural medicine. Nobody else has ever done that. And yet, you want to talk about low on the totem pole? This woman literally buried me. For what? Because I was very honest about the fact that medical doctors nowadays spend 11 seconds on average with their patients. Now, did you know that there was a study done at Johns Hopkins University just a few years ago where they interviewed students about their class attendance, and less than 60% of students, excuse me, more than 60% of first-year medical students in that school don't even attend classes the first 2 years. They watch the lectures on YouTube and go and take the test. And this is the person that's supposed to be deciding whether or not you get a vaccine, or whether or not you're going to die from COVID, whether or not you're going to go and get a respirator. Give me a break.
Yeah.
I actually got into a message board where I was seeing these same students that weren't attending classes. And they were saying, oh, it's great that I don't have to attend class because I could focus on my hobbies. I could go to, you know, I can go to the gym and get myself in shape. And I'm like, and you're going to be prescribing people medication that's going to kill them if you get it wrong? This is precisely the reason why we've got a screwed up medical system. Because you've got people that are going in to the system that are not trained properly, that don't actually care, that don't have the integrity. And again, there are good doctors out there, of course. And usually good doctors wind up leaving the medical industry because they're sick of crap. Yeah. And I actually wrote about this in my thesis. This was my thesis for functional medicine as to why I wanted to be a doctor of drugless functional medicine. And I looked at all this stuff. I was like, this is why I didn't go to med school. This is why I wanted no part of that club, no part of that community. Yet I've been absolutely shelled by people over the past year because of the stuff that I've discovered. Somebody even said, like from one of the laboratories I use, they even said, what are your qualifications to do intravenous vitamin C? I'm like, what are my qualifications? They're questioning my qualifications to make the discovery that I made.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, they did the same thing to Galileo 500 years ago. And I have a poster up in my living room of the Galilean moons to remind me that this stuff ain't easy. I'm sorry for getting loud, but I'm Italian and sometimes we
That's okay. Well, so I have this conversation a lot. And there is a reason people are emotionally invested in things. Okay. And when we look at academia as a whole and medical school, it's a very expensive investment.
Right.
And do I believe that these men and women are very smart? Yes. Can they learn the material that they are given? Absolutely. Are they taught to critically think through? You know, so I don't doubt that the information that they are passionate about, I don't doubt that they learned that to the umpteenth degree. And I don't doubt that they are passionate about it because they've invested a lot of time and money in it. However, we're not seeing favorable outcomes for most of these treatments. And so where is our ability to look at this and say, where are we going wrong? Instead, we have a giant force that is financially backed to continue to promote because this is what they're taught. Mm-hmm. And so nobody is questioning their ability to learn what they are taught, but what they are being taught, is that the correct approach? And what we're seeing as we see Western medicine physicians branch out into more functional and holistic medicine, is that they are saying, you know what? I am smart and I can critically think. And I know that this is frowned upon in my profession, but it's time that I help people be well, because this is why I became a practitioner in the first place. And so, yeah, I mean, I really am grateful for your passion for it and for you getting loud because,
well, I won't be the last time.
Yeah, but it's what we need. And I want listeners to understand that I get your trust in these professionals. I do. And I am not here to tell you that the person that you're seeing has any desire to do you harm. And I'm not saying that their approach is not going to work for you, but I'm saying that if it's not working for you, then we have to open our minds to alternative suggestions. And when people get weird about natural solutions, that's when my radar goes off, because why is this all of a sudden a bad thing, you know, rather than these unnatural solutions?
There has to be a paradigm shift, but clear definitions. And that's why I put that definition of what I call drugless functional medicine.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
But even functional medicine, nobody really knows what it is. And it's following the same path that integrative medicine and naturopathy went down, where it just basically became like a cash-based business for medical doctors that were just sick of dealing with insurance companies that wanted to go and make more money. And, you know, they've got people coming into an integrative medicine clinic and say, we're going to practice integrative medicine. And then they walk out with maybe a bottle of multivitamins, maybe a probiotic, and five medications. I mean, like, how is that solving anything?
Yeah.
And, you know, so there has to be a clear definition of everything that we're discussing here. And, you know, like, I don't even care. I don't know if that's the right word, but I don't really pay much attention to a diagnosis. What I pay attention to is the functionality of the actual organism, this being the patient. And when you go into a medical doctor's office, if they can't diagnose you with something, then there's no treatment procedure.
Right.
So there's one or two things that are going to happen. They're going to send you home and say, go see a psychiatrist, which happens still a lot, which
often.
And the other thing is they're going to go and they're going to lump you under a diagnosis that they think it would fit. And that's how cancer went from like, one thing and expanded into hundreds of things. That's what they did with AIDS. You know, Kaposi's sarcoma used to be cancer. But then when somebody shows up with Kaposi's sarcoma and they do an HIV test, which is dramatically different now than it was in the 80s, it's no longer cancer. Now it's this. So now you're diagnosed with cancer. Now you're diagnosed with AIDS. So you got to do two different types of treatments. So we're going to do this. Just so completely, but yet, I got a book over here written by a guy that helped a lot of people with so-called AIDS as a diagnosis by fixing a deficiency. So I think that something that's going to play a big role in the future is going to be deficiency-based medicine because the methodology is in the name. Okay? You have to go, if you're not dealing with deficiency, and that deficiency starts with water and vitamin C, really. And then you just kind of cascade from there. So that's really what I think needs to be done, is that there has to be a focus on chemistry, not pharmacology.
Yeah.
The fact that, I'm going to tell you a couple more stories. I know we're getting short on time here, but I have an 84-year-old patient who has been through the ringer with the medical community for the past couple of years. In 2020, she went to a hospital with her husband who was experiencing what looked like symptoms of dehydration. So the first thing they did was they tested him for COVID. And of course he tested positive, like who didn't? And they isolated him. And to my understanding, they just gave him like intravenous sugar water, and he died. And they said it was because of complications of COVID, when actually he died of dehydration because they never actually hydrated him, and they killed him. And this is what I'm talking about. If they were looking for the deficiency, if they had the mentality of finding the deficiency first, that man would still be alive today because they would have hydrated him, whether through intravenously or giving him a glass of water. But they isolated him, kept him away from his wife, his family, and he died 4 days later. And they created an even greater deficiency. They created a spiritual deficiency. They made his current deficiency worse. Of course he was going to be scorbutic. Of course he was going to be malnourished. So fast forward 2 years, she moves to another state. Oh, I think it's going to be a good, you know, I got to go ahead and find a local medical doctor, you know, and just work with Dr. Joseph when I need to. So as it turns out, perfectly healthy 84-year-old woman who I spent a year and a half fixing her digestive system. She goes to this particular doctor. They say, oh my God, your blood sugar is too high here. You've got to go and take this drug. And you guys know what I'm talking about, which drug it is, metformin.
Mm-hmm.
And within minutes of taking that drug, she had horrific, horrific diarrhea.
Yep.
And it absolutely destroyed nearly 2 years of working with her to get her digestive system working flawlessly for an 84-year-old woman, they destroy it in a matter of minutes. And it's so incredibly frustrating because they still didn't address any sort of biochemical reasons for what's showing up on this test. And they didn't even look at the test in the context of the patient. Like, how do you feel? I feel great. Okay, well, we need to go and, you know, make sure that we're treading water here. We need to make sure that we're doing something else other than making her now have a digestive problem where she can't leave her house. She can't go to church on Sundays because she doesn't know if she can make it to the bathroom.
And this is very common with that drug in general. Yeah. And that in my field, you know, I work with a lot of women with PCOS and insulin resistant PCOS. And that's one of the first things that's thrown at them is metformin, that and birth control. But again, I say this often, metformin was not even initially tested on women in clinical trials. Mm-hmm. And now it's the most prescribed drug for women in America, just like Dr. Joseph is talking about. They see, you know, we are slapped with one diagnosis and one treatment for everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody's body is different.
And this is also one of the biggest reasons why vitamin C was not accepted when it was presented as a, you know, jack of all trades, as a wonder nutrient. You know, I'm not going to say drug because back then they called it a drug because the definition was so broad, but it's like a wonder substance. It does everything. But we are in a medical model, especially when it comes to what they call infections, is one bug, one drug. They want to go and say you're diagnosed with this particular thing and this is the particular procedure for it. But what if somebody comes in and one person has tetanus, another person has rabies, another person has a purported viral disease like polio, another person has fungal infection, another person has what they've diagnosed as cancer, another person has MS, another person has early menopause, another person is dealing with diabetes, and then vitamin C fixes all of them. What do they do? I mean, think about how many drugs just got thrown in the trash. And right. There are studies and there are clinical reports that go back decades for every single thing that I just mentioned. Everything. Okay, we could even talk about, arthritis and about collagen synthesis. We could talk about, osteoporosis. Suzanne Humphreys wrote an article on this, and I think she's done some lectures on it, about how osteoporosis is really bone scurvy because it's not about lack of calcium. It's about a lack of collagen. So now we've got osteoporosis we can throw in the mix.
Right.
Okay, and then we talk about stress. We talk about anxiety. And think about, one drug for one problem, one drug, one bug. And think about all these 40, 50 different things. And one for each of them. And yet there's one substance that the absence of it, these things are the result. And when you fix that absence, when you put it back in there, these things go away for a lot of people. And the devil's in the dosing. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. But there's so many people going back to the early 1930s that have experienced what has been known as miraculous recovery because of the discovery of vitamin C. We owe Albert Szent-Györgyi, the great biologist and scientist from Hungary, we owe him a debt of gratitude. So he was such an inflammatory figure that he was number one on Adolf Hitler's hit list that he wanted to have assassinated in Eastern Europe. He hated Szent-Györgyi. It was incredible that he could piss off Hitler that much. And this is also the same guy that discovered vitamin C because he was also, he was also fighting against the Nazis and he was good at it. But, it's I just find it incredibly ironic that you see like the Nazi regime hated Szent-Györgyi and he just happens to be the guy that discovered what we call ascorbic acid.
Super interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I do have a quick question. If somebody wanted to, because obviously supplementing vitamin C, it sounds like would benefit everyone. So if somebody just wanted to start from ground zero, is there a traditional or baseline dose that you would recommend, or are there tests that individuals need to have first, any sort of lab tests, so they can figure out what their body needs?
Well, there are lots of different ways of testing for vitamin C. You know, there's like urine tests that you could do, little testing strips. There's blood tests. There are all different sorts of things.
What do you use?
I use the organic acid test. I know that when I test somebody for the first time, it doesn't matter because they're going to be low. And what I'm looking to do is to use my protocol, which, like I said, is the kind of the combination of the multi-C and the dynamic flow. I call it Dr. Joseph's dynamic flow, dynamic flow protocol. So I use the organic acid test, and what I'm looking for is to get into quadruple digits in the retesting. And that's how I know that my protocol is doing what I'm expecting it to do. It's a predictable outcome. And okay, we see the results of that, which is just an improved quality of life at the bare minimum. Another thing too, that we experience from that is that people don't get sick during flu season, which I think is a huge outcome, especially now. But as far as baseline, that's really tough. So I try to stick with a nice round number that's kind of conservative, and it's like 2,000 milligrams or 2 grams in divided doses. And like I said before, if you contact us, we'll send you a copy of the protocol. And I do a lot of work now with Kim over at Truth Integrative Medicine. So if anybody's interested in, you know, maybe pursuing something a little bit more seriously, you know, we can work through distance. Because the testing kits are at home. You know, you do them at home. Everything that I do is virtual. Because the whole idea of having a, you know, small town naturopathic practice went out the window early 2020. So now everything is virtual. You know, supplements, we ship them or can get them drop shipped, that type of stuff.
So, for anyone that's interested, we'll put his website in the show notes, so you can contact them through the website and they will be happy to send you that protocol. And if anyone is interested in further treatment, if you've got something more serious going on and you're interested, you are more than welcome to follow up with Dr. Joseph on the website. You can reach out to me on Instagram. My handle is in the show notes as well. I can connect you with Kim Strong and or Dr. Joseph. I have seen and heard of the power of these types of treatments, and it's something to consider. Why not? You know, it's not going to hurt you. And your quality of life will be maintained. So I'm again, just so grateful that you are doing the work that you're doing. And I always love meeting pioneers that have an Italian background, because y'all are super passionate.
Well, you know, I mean, I've got like Galileo all over my house, you know. So
the funny thing about Dr. Joseph is I first spoke with him on the phone, and then when we hopped on and saw each other on camera, he looks completely different than he sounds. So we'll put him on the podcast cover. We'll put his picture on the podcast cover. But really? You were telling me a funny story before we started recording about Lowe's or Home Depot.
Well, yeah, like when I actually leave the house and try to be a normal person. Yeah, if I go into Home Depot, I'm walking around and people are asking me where like lumber is and where the tools are, and I'm like, man, I went to school and 3 doctorates.
He's got the beard and the hair. I mean, I assume that he knows where things are.
Well, honestly, I do. I've been there so much, and you know, because I built a studio in my backyard. So I had to, let's put it this way. The general manager in the store and I were like this.
Good friends.
we know each other well. And, but yeah, it's really funny. I walk out, you know, on the street by myself and just kind of minding my own business. And you got 19-year-old kids coming up to me saying, "Hey man, you carrying?" And I'm like, "Oh God." The whole part is struggless, don't you understand? So like, I have more in common with that dude in Washington Square Park that gets up on a milk crate and starts yelling out, "Repent, repent, the end is nigh, go watch Ancient Aliens season 5. You know, I mean, I've got more in common with those guys than I do with my peers. And, you know, it's funny because you wouldn't think that I was like this, but I, you know, just hammer it in people's heads about the vitamin C stuff to the point where, you know, I look like Moses with the beard and everything. And I say, I preach the gospel of vitamin C.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I do. I'm almost religious about it. And I want to share one final thought on a serious tip about something that happened to me in 2020. This was before the pandemic was declared. It was in February of 2020 when I moved out into the country in this new area. Something happened to me, one Thursday night in February, 2020, where I started to get just everything started shutting down. I was like bedridden for 4 days. I was in excruciating pain. I felt like, it was a scene out of Hellraiser, that I had all these different hooks and needles being, it was just, I was on fire. And, it was just the most excruciating. I've never felt pain like that before. And a weird thing was happening where I was thinking about moving my arms and legs, but I couldn't send the message to the rest of my body. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to go and get up and dial something on the phone, but like I was saying to my hand, "Move." And it just was like saying, "I got nothing, man." And this was going on for 4 days, and I finally was able to go and muster up the courage, and I sent a text message to my mom, and I was in this house just a couple of weeks. I sent a text message to my mom. I said, "Look, you got to bring my supplements here. I've got nothing. You got to bring every vitamin C that I have over," because I was staying at my house for my mother's house for a little while, you know, I was moving into this one. I said, "You got to bring it." She's like, "I don't feel like driving." I said, "You just have to do it." So she showed up. Okay. And I was able to kind of muster up some strength to go outside to go and grab it. And I was as white as this shirt. And I looked like a corpse. She's never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. So I went and I got my liposomal vitamin C, went into the kitchen, filled up a measuring cup of that, and I just pounded it. You know, let it stay in my mouth for a minute, the whole thing. Within 10 seconds of swallowing that, it seemed like everything went away.
Wow.
And then my mother had to come back about 20 minutes later because she forgot something. And I went outside and I was working normally. She's like, "What happened? You look like a new man." "Yeah, it was the vitamin C." And she's like, "Well, what was it?" Like, "Well, apparently I had scurvy. I had a rapidly developing form of scurvy because that particular day, I didn't have a chance to eat. And for a couple of months, I really wasn't taking my vitamin C supplements because I was trying to get all food."
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if I went to the hospital with what I experienced, if I did not have the presence of mind to muster up the strength to go and get that vitamin C, there is no question in my mind that would be the last thing they would be looking for.
Yeah.
Find the deficiency first.
It's very obvious now to anyone who's willing to open their mind. So I kind of want to end with this. I got a text earlier this week, and it really highlights the importance of what we're talking about. He said, "Observing people has led me to some conclusions and one question. Humans are invasive herd animals. Generally speaking, can be kind of dumb and easy to manipulate, yet our bodies are extremely resilient. How have we come so far and made so many advances just to be a huge flock of controlled idiots?" So we are not going to be controlled idiots. And I want to share information, whether you agree, disagree or not, at least now you have exposure to more information, right? And I think that we have more power. We have so much more power in the way our health and in the way that our life goes than we have ever been led to believe. So if you are willing to question and to take an honest look at what's going on with your lifestyle and the treatment options that you've been given and what you're implementing, then I think you are at a much higher chance of finding real resolve and living to the best of your ability to live. So, all right, this is going to wrap up an incredible couple of episodes, and I am so excited, Dr. Joseph, to have you back because, although this audience is primarily women, most of these women are married or care for men. And I really would like to dive in more to men's hormones, the andropause that you talked about, which is, to put it in layman's terms, it's similar to menopause in that men do have a drop off of all these fun supportive hormones, and how we can slow down that process, things that we can do to support or revert. Yeah, that even better. Yeah. So because women listen to this, they can take that information back and make the changes, because we know that women are extremely powerful when it comes to the health of their family. And so I think men benefit every time that a woman learns something new. So, but again, thank you for being here today. We're very excited to have you back. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And if you enjoyed this episode, it would do us a great deal of good if you would go like, rate, and review, and share with your friends. All right. Thanks, ladies. Be well. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope that you got a lot out of that episode. We have some more powerful episodes coming up. If you are interested in locking arms with us to get this information out and empowering women to get their health back, it really helps us if you will subscribe to this channel, as well as rating and reviewing the show. If you're interested in talking one-on-one about your personal health journey, I'm happy to do that too. You can find me on Instagram at Allison Health Coach Noe. I will put that in the show notes, as well as my email address, wholestoryhealth@gmail.com. You guys have a great day. We will see y'all next time. That's a wrap for this one.